6:34?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we're going to begin the meeting. So we'll call this meeting to order. It is Spring Valley Town Advisory Board. This is June 29th, 2021, and we are starting the meeting at 6:34 p.m. And we can open with the Pledge of Allegiance. Where is our pledge leader?
A pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And Carmen, can we do roll call, please?
All board members are present tonight. We have Mike Shannon from Justin Jones' office, and we have Jared from Planning Department.
Great. Thank you. And now this time is for public comment, and if anyone would care to make a public comment, you're free to do so now. At each agenda item, though, you will be allowed an opportunity to comment at that time after you have an opportunity to see and hear the presentation by the applicant. So if you'd like to wait until that time to speak, that's fine. You'll be allowed to speak at that time. There will also be a public comment at the end of the meeting as well. Would anyone care to speak right now? Okay, seeing none, we will move forward with approval of the minutes from the June 8th, 2021 meeting. Would anyone care to make a motion?
I move to approve the minutes.
Okay. You've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion passes. Next is the approval of the agenda for today's meeting. And I don't think there's any hold, combines, or deletions. Okay. And I know there is one item that is the same applicant, but I think we'll probably hear them separately, and we'll just, since they're, you're right in order, we'll just go into the item 3 and 4 so that we can take separate motions on that. And if the board has no other changes, seeing none, I'll move for approval of the agenda for June 29th. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That motion passes unanimously. And informational items. Michael.
Yeah, a couple things this evening, Madam Chair. Just want to let everybody know that the James Regional Sports Park, which is over across from Rhodes Ranch off of Durango and Warm Springs, they're in the process of design there for that park. And, well, it's actually a trail. And what's the date? Monday, July 19th from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Windmill Library. There's going to be a meeting specific to ADA and uses within that trail. So you're all welcome to attend with that. Secondly, for our next meeting, 2 weeks from today, on July 13th, we're going to have our regular meeting that will be posted for 6:30 p.m. Prior to that, we're going to have a legislative update at 5:30 p.m. We'll have Speaker Jason Frierson, Senator Marilyn Dondero Loop, Senator Dallas Harris, Assemblywoman Brittany Miller, Assemblywoman Tracy May Brown, given an update from the legislative session. So that will be prior to our regular meeting at 5:30, and then we'll go into our regular meeting at 6:30 on July 13th. That's all I have this evening.
Great, thank you. And now we're moving to item 6, which is planning and zoning. And we'll take the very first item, number 1, which is RBLLC. Are you the presenter?
Yes.
Okay. I will read this into the record as you prepare yourself. This is item number U as in Uncle, C as in Charlie, number 210266, P as in P as in Peter, S as in Sam, I as in Indian, RBLLC. This is a use permit for the following: 1, a motion picture production studio with public viewing area 2, private recreational facility, and 3, banquet facility on a portion of the 4.5 acres in an MD design manufacturing zone in the CMA design overlay district, generally located on the southwest corner of Arby Avenue and Bel Castro Street within Spring Valley. This is in Commissioner Mike Nass' district, and it is scheduled to be before the Planning Commission on July 20th of 21. And you may begin.
Hi, good evening, Town Board. My name is Liz Sorokaki, 965 Southeastern Avenue, this is my address. I'm here regarding property on the southwest corner of Arby and Bel Castro, which is near Rainbow and Warm Springs intersection. This is approximately 24,000 square foot industrial warehouse in an empty zone. We are requesting motion picture production studio, private recreation facility, and banquet facility with on-premises consumption of alcohol. This is the overall site plan for the existing warehouse industrial park. And then I want to show you the floor plan. This is the floor plan for this specific space. We come in from the park from here. This is Bel Castro. RV is further north up here. You come into the space, there's the lobby area. There is a conference room to the right. There are a couple of offices, a kitchen area. You enter into the space here. And really the space that we're talking about here this evening is what I'm calling the event space, or what's described as the event space, which is this central part of the warehouse here. All of this area in the back is all of the technical area, which is really everything other than this event space and kind of this entry area is what we would consider a non-public area. It's not accessible to the public. It's used for storage or for technical aspects of this facility. There's a loading dock in the back, but essentially what we're talking about for the events is this portion in the center. So I just want to show you one more site plan, and then I want to show you what these LED screens look like and really what we're talking about. If you haven't been to the facility, it's hard to imagine what it is we're talking about. So again, this is the depiction of the space, and I hashed off all of the areas that are non-public areas, and this was in your backup and through it. Again, to help kind of divide the space into what's the public area and where, what are we talking about with this event space. So here in the center, I'll show you some photos. So, well, first I'll describe it. So you have to imagine there is a round stage. I'm going to use my hands, this is the easiest way to show it. There's a round stage in the middle. On this side, there is a round LED screen that is stationary. And on this side, there's an LED screen that's on a track that you can move back and forth. So you can expand or contract the space as you like. The floor area that we had in the justification letter is the maximum space if it's all of the way open. And then these are some, This is what
the wall of LED screens looks like. And this is already existing.
This facility has already been constructed and is existing. It is really, really impressive. It is a high-tech facility that is designed for, you know, movie production level, that quality of production level. Again, just given this area back here, this tech space probably seats about 30 people that sit at computers to control all of these screens. The idea behind the space is to offer a variety of uses, which is why the request is kind of broad, maybe non-specific in nature. We were trying to cover all of the potential uses that could occur there. So some examples of the uses would be training seminars, marketing events, private events, podcasts. They've actually already shot a music video there, and like product launches. And they already received a, we already received a prior approval administratively that allows streaming of these events. So if you want to do a training that would utilize the technology there and also stream it, so you could have it, you could do streaming or you could do a combination of live and streaming. We have the streaming already approved. This request is for the live in-person events. One more thing I wanted to touch on quickly is just the parking. There's ample parking in the center itself. 118 spaces required and 170 provided. And prior to filing this application in person, we worked with the landlord to ensure that we had adequate parking for the uses that we were requesting. The breakdown for the number of parking spaces that our uses would require is 46, and we've been allocated 53 spaces that we worked with the landlord that are specifically assigned to my client that's operating the facility. So staff has recommended approval, and we're requesting your approval here tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Can you please pass those diagrams down so we could see those a little far away?
Sure. Did you have any specific one you wanted to see, or all of them?
The ones that you shared.
Okay.
And at this time, we'll ask for any public comment on agenda item one. Anyone in, from the public have a question or comments? Okay, seeing none. Let me just give the board a couple minutes and then we'll start. Catherine, when you're ready, we'll start with you. Thank you.
There are a variety of layouts where they can configure the space, but the maximum number of people, and you can see this in the justification letter as well, so you're not highly involved at all. The maximum number is 250 people, but you have to, I guess you have to overlay that with the fact that those kinds of events are going to be more of the educational style of events where you have a traditional setup of, you know, people sitting right next to one another in rows, and that's an educational style event. But those events are typically, they are done in conjunction with bringing people in from out of state. They come to Las Vegas for, you know, for a convention, for lack of a better word, and they are actually shuttled to the site. And we have a separate parking and transportation management plan that we submitted with our application. This is something that, so it's Worry Studios, and they're part of their business is a network marketing business, and they've been conducting these seminars for about 10 years at on-strip facilities. So now they want to have their own facility where they can do this, but they're used to shuttling these numbers of people who come in from out of town, if that's helpful.
Can I get an explanation on this? Can you come here for a moment?
Of course.
So can you show me, what is this?
This is this part right here. That's this half of the building. This is the entire site plan that they had us submit.
Okay.
And this is the specific space, all of it, and then that's the breakdown showing.
And this space right here is right here.
That's this in the red.
Okay.
Yes.
That's this, what I see here.
Correct.
That fits in there. Okay.
Yes.
And then this is
That's the same space, broken down.
But
with
I see the other. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
So there is, I'm looking at this and it says rural estate residential. So there is residential right here. Because according to the information I had, that's zoned for.
Perhaps, so
for
this
business site, professional.
That's accurate.
Okay.
The the residential that is listed on there, that could have been from the prior site plan when the initial zone change was done.
Yeah, because it still shows RE, but it does say plan for office professional. So that's south of there. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Sorry, I didn't notice that just on there before.
Did you have some questions?
Yes, thank you. Growing concept. I've spent a few years as a professional student in places like this.
Can you all hear? Can you hear, John?
From the standpoint of what you're talking about, especially with the blended.
It's like if you imagine like a TED Talks, that's what they're trying to do. That's one of the things they're trying to do. Yeah.
And the only concern I have is what I think Kathy was touching on, and that is you've got enough spaces to meet the requirements for the building size.
Right.
But if you go to the fire department capacity of that building, which you may do,
yes,
you don't have enough parking spaces. And that's what I wonder about. How you say you're going to truck people in, that sounds nice, but does that mean if I live 3 miles away, I'm going to drive to the strip to get on a bus so I don't take a parking space there?
Well,
you understand what I'm driving?
Yes,
I don't want to complicate it, just simply the parking. You're going to have
understand.
A few hundred people there and parking for 50 cars.
Correct, but let me answer that in a couple ways. So first of all, like I said, we have the parking and transportation management plan.
Right.
There is a events coordinator who is supposed to be handling all of these events, and you are supposed to be contacting that person for a parking pass if you want to drive to the event. Now, hopefully people are going to do that. So that's my first response. The second one is besides the parking, and I recognize we don't generally count this, but besides the parking that is available, that is specifically assigned to my client, there's also on-street parking as well that is available. They also encourage people to use Lyft or Uber, and we have separate little drop-off space for that as well on site. So while I recognize that there may be situations where people drive to events, I think that they're going to do the best that they can to address those concerns, and they understand they need to be a good neighbor as well. And we've been communicating with the neighbors in the park about what's going on, and they have a vested interest in making sure that they're a good neighbor so that they don't get themselves in
trouble. I understand, but you know, when I was driving over today and looked at this location, I had to stop and wait for oncoming traffic to pass because there are so many semis already parked along the pass road that you can't have opposing traffic passing right now, this afternoon. So,
okay, well, I don't know
what
the semis are for, but
they're there to be parked. I mean, some of them are just empty trailers along Bill Castor. So that's my concern. What happens when you start having enough vehicles for 200 people coming and going and all of that? Do we really have provisions for that?
Yes.
I'm concerned. I haven't heard anything other than you're going to bust them. Is that right?
It's control of the event. It's shuttling people in. It's providing for ride share, and there's on-street parking. And based on the public area and the way that the parking calculations, and granted, maybe the fire department determined something different, but based on the calculations of the code, we do need the code, too. And in fact, besides the assigned parking spaces, presumably open parking, whatever is not assigned to someone else, is also available in the park.
The other question I have is, you're in this business, so you think about this all the time, I know. What's going to be the impact of having a facility that routinely draws pretty good crowds of people on the adjoining, still undeveloped BDRP, and their ability to do industry, noise, stuff that happens in a BDRP that they generally don't like to have next to big groups? Should we be worried about that?
No, I don't think so. Are you concerned about industrial noise affecting this facility?
I'm concerned about people who might develop the BDRP in job creating areas who would hesitate because they would have large numbers of pedestrians nearby.
Well,
just like they don't like to put up next to a housing complex or an apartment complex or whatever, for the noise, the rack, the whatever, the dangers that come with being there.
I don't know that I would be concerned. I honestly haven't thought about that. I don't know that I would be concerned about that. I mean, as far as anything that's to the north, this building is located on the south portion of the warehouse facility. I don't know whether they've done any additional kind of sound attenuation or anything that would.
Okay.
I haven't thought. I don't really have a good answer for that.
Okay. Thanks, Madam Chair. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Rodney. Brian?
Nothing for
you. Nothing for you? Okay. And I hate to say this, but I'm with them on the parking situation. I used to be an event manager for years, and so I know a little bit about congestion of people. And I'm just very concerned with not all the rest that you have in here. It really is when you're going to do public events and those additional people coming on. I understand you're wanting to use it for seminars and filming and all that. It sounds wonderful. But it's when you open it up then to large groups is where I'm having some difficulty and seeing how this will impact this community or this area, especially when we have the north and the south still undeveloped. And so it is concerning to me too, I'm just going to be honest. But I think that the rest of your project looked really great. I think it's wonderful opportunity and offers much needed services. I just have concerns about the public events, especially when you're talking about 200 people. I don't see where they're going to park. I really don't. But that's just my thoughts, and he's already asked that, and so I don't want to get into it, you know.
Sure.
So, but I just want to share that with you, what my thoughts are. So with that said, Catherine, I wanted to circle back to you because you did say you may have a follow-up question. No? Okay. So at this time, then, I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I would, and again, I'm like with you. I'd like to see this succeed. I've got an idea on what might solve our concerns, and it's based on what we've done with the annual request form. Okay. So I would move to approve with staff conditions and an additional condition of requirement for detailed parking plans anytime there are groups in excess of 150 to attend. And the staff, I think, do you understand what I'm talking about, like we do with the Greek Festival where we met with them? And just make sure that these concerns are addressed so that the streets aren't full.
Yeah, so what we've done for the Greek Festival is, you know, they'll submit the parking plan to us and we'll image it in the
file
and have to
review
it and keep track of it.
So okay.
You did want to submit it to staff. Is that what you're requesting for the parking plan?
So I hope that makes sense. There's a way maybe to try to make this work.
Is 150 a good number?
I just kind of picked it out of the air. I figured three people a car. Want to go 100, I'm fine.
I think 100.
Okay, I'll amend it to 100.
Because they have 53 spots, but they could use some others. So maybe they could get to 75 to 100
sure.
on site,
sure.
which would only leave that, yeah.
Okay.
Extra.
So same motion, but 100.
Okay. All right, you've heard the motion. Any discussion on the motion? I don't think so, because we kind of discussed already. Okay, seeing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? I didn't hear you, Brian, so I apologize. Your aye. Okay. So that passed unanimously, Catherine, with staff conditions and with the amendment for the parking. It's a little hard because of the fan right here, but I realize it's a little warm. But so I can't. That's why I couldn't hear you. All righty. Thank you so much. And if you have any additional questions on that, Michael would be happy to, our
yeah,
staff would be happy to help
okay,
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
Okay, moving to item number 2. Is our applicant here? Okay, while you get prepared, I'm going to read into the record. That's U as in Uncle, C as in Charlie, number 210270, Nervosa, LLC, use permit for a school elementary located within a portion of a previously approved office building on a half an acre in a CRT commercial residential transitional zone in the Desert End Road Transition Corridor Overlay District, generally located on the north side of Desert End Road, 150 feet east of Torrey Pines Drive within Spring Valley, in Commissioner Justin Jones District. And this is to come before the Planning Commission on July 20th of 21. And if you could please give us your name, address for the record.
Sure. Good evening. Thank you. My name is Kevin Boyfield. The resident address, or sorry, the owner address is 6770 Mojave, sorry, 6770 West Desert End. The subject address that we'll be referring to this evening is 6470 West Desert End. I think I got all the numbers right. 6440.
Okay, you may begin.
Perfect. Thank you again for your time this evening. So we are the owners of 6440 West Desert Inn. My name is Kevin Wolf again. I'm the board president of Mojave Educational Foundation. Again, located at 6440 West Desert Inn, which we currently have a early childhood and grade school currently going up to the second grade, located at the 6440 address. Through our expansion plans, we have contracted with our neighbor at 6470 West Desert Inn Road to lease for a term of 3 years, approximately 1,100 square foot, which would be utilized for a second and third grade children, consisting of two separate classrooms, approximately or up to 20 children in total, 10 per classroom, with the addition of two teachers, one per classroom, and the occasional teacher's assistant. There would be dedicated access from the main driveway, which has approximately 21 spaces that's planned for, based on the plans that have been created by the owner of 6470 West Desert Inn Road. I do have some diagrams, happy to share, that give a little bit more detail. Sorry, I only brought two of them. But that do give a little bit more detail. So as you see on the diagrams, this space here would be the spaces dedicated for the classroom. So this space here with a unisex washroom in the back.
This is just the one site right here that we're talking about,
this
correct?
This is just the one site at 6470 West Desert. So we are asking for a special use permit for the grades classrooms located on that site. Slightly better diagram here. The two classrooms side by side, unisex washroom in the back, with a small supply storage area. There is, like I say, a separate entrance out to the front drive. Drop off is approximately, utilization of the space would be approximately 7:30 Monday through Friday to 3:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Again, the traffic flow that's been planned for the space. There will be office tenants throughout this area. Again, separated, so very few mixing of the students coming into and through the building.
Okay, Rodney, we'll start with you. You know what, let me ask public comment first.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Is there any public comment questions for this applicant? Yes, sir. please give us your name and spell it and address. Thank you.
Gary Bauman. My address is BAUMAN. Address is 3309 Bristol Home Street. I have very serious concerns about two things. Traffic on Desert Hill Road. Because their plans is to go up to 200 students. That was said before the county commissioners 3 years ago. It was also said at this committee 2 years ago. And about 12 people show up. The traffic on Desert Hill is a busy street. I don't think anybody can argue with that. What is this going to do? And when they want to expand further, they're going to have to go past the commercial zone into non-commercial. They're going to need variances. How big is this going to be? How is it going to affect the traffic? And how will it affect the neighborhood? I'm really concerned. The guy that owned that house that they're expanding on was here at that meeting. He was very upset. And when the county commissioners pushed Chuck through, he sold it. Problem. Now they're taking it over. And I'm, you know, I just feel like this is a bit aggressive. It's done by an organization that's like 20 years old. It's Walden, Robin Corporation. And their experience as a neighborhood, they're not. They have a chance to organize, and we don't have a chance to defend ourselves. Because they want to regulate the county commissioners, I'm sure, before any of this started. So I'm really concerned about the traffic. On any possibly effect on this quality of life in the neighborhood. We put 200 kids in an area.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Anyone else care to speak on this item? Okay. Seeing none, we'll take questions, comments from the board. Rodney? No? Brian?
Could you comment on the 200 students that you mentioned? Where that's coming from.
Sure, so thank you for your comments. Number one, I guess there's a couple different points I'd like to address. So the discussion of this meeting is only for a small portion of this building, just to clarify, not the entire building. And so again, we're adding approximately 20 students or so. The second part is we own 6440 as well as the parcel behind that. So we currently own those two adjoining pieces. The idea of a Waldorf school, which you're absolutely right, Mr. Bowman, is the school has been around from the philosophy of the school for many, many years. However, we as a organization, as Mojave Educational Foundation, have been around for about 5. And so where we are today is that we are literally at the infancy of the school. There is, hopefully we'll continue growing the school, but certainly as we continue to grow the school over the next 10 to 15 years, there will be associated traffic plans, parking that we will have to develop. We do not have a large site plan developed beyond our current building that exists on 6440 West Desert Lane. The idea of the school is not to be a massive tower building. I know there is a school actually just half a block away, which is Las Vegas Day School. I'm not sure how many students Las Vegas Day School has, but it's certainly more than 200, as they have a full gymnasium and they have a full parking arrangement there. So I think the impacts on the neighbors themselves, you know, our goal is to fit in with the community. Like I say, Las Vegas Day School is located just half a block away, certainly much larger than we will ever be at this location. And so I certainly understand the concerns with traffic and parking. I don't think that adding 20 students is going to have that impact, but certainly as the school continues to grow, we want to make sure that we come before the board, presents traffic, parking considerations and plans to make sure that there's a level of comfort, both within what that looks like for Desert Inn and the overall traffic, as well as that of the site itself at 6440 West Desert Inn.
So I'm not sure I heard you address the number 200. How many students are there right now?
James?
Yeah.
Right now
we have approximately 39.
And we're looking at adding 20?
And we're looking at 20.
And we're looking to reach 200?
Wait, hold on 1 second. Sir, hold on. Before you comment, hold your thought. If you could just give your name for the record and your address, and then if you can respond to our board member. Thank you.
My name is James Strebe, and my address is 7300 Pirates Cove Road. I'm director of Mojave Springs School, and we are, Waldorf Education and our classrooms are notable for one thing is low class ratios. We have a projected maximum in our classrooms right now of 10 students per classroom. So, and the moment we have next academic year, we will have three early childhood classes, and we'll have also a grade 1, 2, and 3. Waldorf education has existed for 100 years. It was begun in Germany. It was founded on the insights of child development by Rudolf Steiner. And it is one of the, at presently, and this obviously I'm somewhat prejudiced, but it is a very sought after educational developmental paradigm right now in the education. It's being looked at not just from the educational standpoint, but also by the insights that Rudolf Steiner brought are being verified by modern day science. One of the things that we pride ourselves on is having low ratio. We are called a pioneer school in the Waldorf School movement, which means each year we will grow one grade until we have a maximum of 8 grades. So if you count 8 grades times 10 students is 80 students, plus 10 more per each early childhood class would be 30 more. That comes out to 110 maximum students.
However, just to add that we do not have any formal plans of getting there, nor will that happen with this expansion. Currently, we have the 39 students plus the 20, and so as of right now, we'll have a maximum of approximately 60 students.
And do you have room to expand to that where you are? Would you expand on that same site, or would you need to move?
If we went up to the 100 plus, the plan would be to expand on our current site. Again, we have a completely empty parcel. And so the plan would be to expand further back on that existing site. But over the last year, obviously, from a financial standpoint, it's not financially feasible at this time to do so. And so we'll look at that certainly in the future.
Do you think you can handle parking and traffic for that many students on that site eventually?
We would certainly have to come up with an expanded parking plan. The parking as it stands today would not accommodate 100 plus students. So we would have to look at a revised parking plan, possibly using some of the back lot as potential parking, and expanding that further, I guess that would be north. So, but again, we don't have plans how the buildings would be laid out. And so without that larger future context of an overall future site plan, it's really difficult to see how many parking spaces we would need, what the circulation would look like, which will be something we will have to develop for the long term.
Thank you.
Okay. Catherine?
As I remember, a couple of years ago, I was also on the town board when the Mojave Springs School came out. And the bottom
turn it down just a little.
6440.
We
were told that they were going to build a 2-story building in the back lot. And the residential looking building currently that occupies is just for office use.
Yeah.
That's what we were told to us town board. And so what is the plan for that?
So, to be perfectly honest, we don't have a plan. That was an initial concept of building a 2-story kind of C-shaped building in the back. Don't have any plans on doing that, nor has that been approved for any type of development. I think through some of the additional thought, we think that there's potential for adding kind of more residential style buildings, more of a kind of outdoor-like campus in the future. But again, we haven't developed that and probably won't for the next few years. Again, we've signed with our tenant next door a 3-year lease. And so we're gonna have to continue developing that plan. We think that in keeping with the Mojave, with the Waldorf education, having a large two-story building probably isn't the right look and feel for the neighborhood, nor for the community that we want to create within the school itself.
So, yeah, where on that plan, where is 6440? So the classroom is on the west end of 6470.
That's correct.
Okay, I saw there's a building going on in 6470 on the west end. What are they building?
On this end? So this was a residential unit.
Yes, I remember when they also came over to the town board when they converted to an office building as well. Because I remember all that. So now they are adding to the west end of the wood, are they adding?
I know they've been doing construction in our classrooms here. I'm not sure if he added this storage space for garage. Yes, so it would be this garage space then.
Yes.
Okay, so the students drop off is going to be, where are the students being dropped off every morning?
They'd be dropped off here, so utilizing these parking spaces, dropped off here directly into the store.
Okay. So, where are the students in their playground? That they were evidently pretty low grade, like first grade, second grade. They need to play. Where do they play?
Yep, so there is access out to the backyard here from these doors going into the back play yard. And so this would be the primary play space for these children in this area. It would be grades 2 and 3 that would be located in this building as opposed to the early childhood.
So, would the student have any access to Desert Inn?
The students would not have any access to Desert Inn. There's the brick wall on this side, and it's hard to see on plans, but there's a gate on this side as well. So, no access to Desert Inn outside of this direct access point here.
How about, are the students going to open to the main campus? I would assume the main campus is 6442.
That's correct, yeah, which sits right here, just next to it.
Do they go over to the main campus, or they were just isolated in a little, two little classrooms?
They would be primarily based here.
So what is in your main school?
So main school, we have two early childhood classrooms. We have a first grade class. We have an administrative class. And that's all. Administrative office space.
And do they have any playground equipment for your preschool or whatever on that space?
On this space, there is some. There's some small climbing equipment. There's a sandbox or a sand play area. One of the key components of the Waldorf education, though, is that it is about the natural play, about spending time outside, to your earlier point. And so we would want to create some environment out here. Obviously, this landscaping would be exactly what we want. But having small playground equipment, it's not the swings that you would see at a typical playground. It's about the hands-on play, the sandboxes. We have some wooden tables at the Waldorf School next door at 6440. And so it's about kind of the natural play. We do have some raised flower beds, which we'd like to do back here as well, where the kids actually plant flowers, where they grow vegetables and see the strawberries bloom and then grow into fruits. Those are harvested for snacks inside, things like that. So it's not a traditional playground. Think about a big park. It's nothing like that at all.
not really helping with the isolation of that lot. You know, when you are in a school, you go out to the dock. I know natural. I think in education. I'm not a teacher, but I work with handicapped children for 40 years. So I'm retired from that. So I know the importance of hands-on play, water play. But look like the back of there, you have to worry about other people's office, people, you know, not being bothered by the children. I don't think it's going to be that natural for the children. Are you going to fence some part of there, or they have access for the whole back of there?
As of right now, there's no plans for any fence back here, but this would be primary access for the children. We would want to coordinate with the other tenants around when the children are outside. Obviously, they're not outside all day, so coordinating the specific times. We did have, in our previous location, which was on Rainbow, we should actually share the school, so we had zone times when the children could go out and play to make sure that there's no disturbance to other tenants that were in that building. And so it really comes down to coordination of making sure that, to your point, we have the proper equipment out in the playground area, and that there is the play that occurs outside whilst we don't disturb the other tenants throughout the space through coordination.
We do have an informal agreement, although it hasn't been finalized, but we have an informal agreement with the present owner to put an access gate in the wall that will give the children direct access without any exposure to desert road to the main campus. This hasn't been finalized yet. And this would allow the children complete safety in terms of being behind the gated property the entire time and a simple access to the main campus for them. This is an informal agreement because, having been in education yourself for 40 years, you know that there is often, in most schools, there are separate playgrounds for early childhood and for elementary schools, yes, for elementary children. At the moment, we've had a very successful mix of both early childhood and early grades children, first and second grade children, playing together. But we know we're going to have to address that. And what Kevin was speaking about, giving us access to this, because that property will be used only for elementary grades, not for early childhood children, that we will also begin this year to begin to structure a natural separation between early childhood and the grades.
Catherine, is that all? We can come back if you want. Okay. John?
Thank you. I just have a couple quick questions or comments or whatever. The first condition under staff recommendations is construct a pedestrian gate along the east-west property line between the two houses.
Yes, that's correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there will be some provision, or this won't happen, because it won't get approved.
No.
Right? I mean, there will be a gate. That's my point. Yes. It's one of the conditions. Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
And with that said, I this point, because I think we got distracted a little bit with what worry about what might happen 5 years from now or whenever you're able to try to grow. The report here says the proposed use places no additional demands on the site in terms of required parking, landscaping, or other design features. So I just wanted to get that out for everybody in case they missed it. Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, I guess it's my turn. This item did come before us about a little over 2 years ago, one of the earlier agenda items when I joined the board. And this was something that the community, the neighborhood, did not want. And part of the concern was the noise onto the residents that are directly behind that wall, and the potential growth, because as going to your point, Las Vegas Academy down on the corner is there, but they're not butting up against homes with the exception of maybe one house on that side. Everyone else is then across the street further away. It may impact maybe three houses and that's it. So with that said, when I hear these numbers too, 200, 100, anything like that, that's not what was proposed when this item came before us 2 years ago. It was our understanding that this was going to be only an early childhood facility, just for early childhood, and no discussion around it becoming an elementary school. So this is all new for me. So I have some concerns, but I do have a question for you. The building that's under construction right now, because there was no number posted, 6470, the dark brown building, is that the building we're talking about here?
That is correct.
Okay, so the building, the home, on, or the business, the office business on the corner that's in a residential house, we're not talking about that one?
No.
As of yet?
No, we're not talking
okay.
about that one.
But it could happen, because I'm hearing you wanting to grow, so it's possible that you would take that whole all the way down to the corner if they were willing to sell at some point, so that you had that big space, which is concerning to me, because it's starting to sound like this is going to become a Las Vegas Academy right there in a neighborhood. And that's very concerning to me. I live in that neighborhood.
Sure.
So I'm very familiar with it, and I'm very concerned. You keep saying 20 additional kids, but I thought you said grades 2 and 3 was going to be two separate classrooms, 20 students in each class?
No, 20 total, so 10 in each class.
10 in each class.
Two teachers total.